Still in the Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game, day one of Titans training camp is in the books. Boy, was it hot out there today.
Yeah, it's hot.
I mean, a little breeze came through, and Jim Wyatt turned to me and said, you know, it's not that bad with the breeze. And I said, I'll say this. It's been worse at training camp before. It wasn't that awful today, but boy, it was hot out there today. But it was fun to be on the field for day one of training camp, where, again, the Titans hit the field against the Titans. So we'll have about 2 weeks of that. Then we'll get some preseason games. Then we'll get some scrimmages with the Bucks. Then we'll get another preseason game. And then, boom, it's kickoff. It's the Arizona Cardinals. It's Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, all at Nissan Stadium.
Give me football.
I have five big takeaways from the first day of training camp. So without further ado, I say we just jump right to them at the top, and we start with number one.
Number one.
The star players are going to get the star treatment from Mike Vrabel at training camp this year. Derrick Henry did the individual running back drills. Derrick Henry did the warm-up with the running backs. And then when it was time for the running backs to get going into 7-on-7 and 11-on-11, Derrick Henry was in the sand pit, and then Derrick Henry was done for the day. You're going to run the guy 500 times? Yeah, it might be nice in the middle of July to give the man a breather. I don't think any of us worry about Derrick Henry's physical fitness or Derrick Henry being ready to carry the load this season. Julio Jones was out there on the field for individual workouts with the wide receivers, the individual work, the position period. But once they started getting into teamwork, Julio Jones was standing on the sidelines with a helmet on, and he did not participate much. In fact, when the quarterbacks were warming up, Todd Downing took Julio Jones and A.J. Brown and had them go work with the quarterbacks, and all the other wide receivers were with Rob Moore doing wide receiver stuff. Taylor Lewan made a trip back to the locker room during practice today. I assume that was to get a little rest on the knee. We know how Vrabel operates. He's going to give those guys time off. He's going to give the stars breathers. He is not going to work them too hard at training camp. It is amazing that a guy who comes from Bill Belichick, who of course comes from Bill Parcells, is sitting here at camp nowadays saying, hey, let's bring it down a notch. But the technology, the research, the experience is all different. And Mike Vrabel has always proven he's not a guy who's going to run players into the ground, especially in training camp. And this year, the star players are going to get the star treatment.
Number two.
Backup quarterback. Right now for me, it's Woodside over Kaiser, and I'm not sure that it's even really that close. I think there is still time for DeShone Kaiser to show his ability and pass Logan Woodside. But I would say this, and I would be very cautious of it, which is I don't think it's who gives you a better chance to win a game. I think it is who is more likely to not lose you a game. I think the Titans trust Logan Woodside's decision-making more than they trust DeShone Kaiser's. I love DeShone Kaiser. We played on the same celebrity softball team together, and he seems like a really great dude. He's athletic, he's big, and he's got a cannon, although it is kind of, you know, today it was wobbling a little bit out of the hand. I didn't like the short intermediate throws from Kaiser. But he's just too indecisive with the football in his hands. I mean, he's sitting there with the football. Ian, if you could, I asked Vrabel about kind of the 7-on-7 with Kaiser, and he's got the football in his hands, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And it's 7-on-7. Somebody's got to be open. You're not getting blitzed. Throw the football. And so I asked Vrabel about that after practice was over today. But, again, right now I think it's all about confidence. We said the same thing last year when they brought in Simeon. Oh, they're going to dump on him and they're going to put Trevor Siemian in, and they didn't do that. And Trevor Siemian had starting experience in the NFL. DeShone Kaiser has starting experience. But for me, after one day, it's Woodside over Kaiser. Here's what Vrabel said today about DeShone Kaiser.
In the 7-on-7, DeShone looks a little indecisive. How important is it to look at the film to see whether or not that's good defense, the receiver's not getting open, or how much of it is kind of working with him on maybe making quicker decisions?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it when you look at which group they're going with and whether somebody ran a wrong route or the spacing wasn't correct or the defense actually covered them. And it all comes down to decision making, not throwing the ball late because somebody's covered. you know, not throwing the ball across our body or not just trying, you know, I mean, we're trying to find completions, but then obviously making sure that, you know, we're not crazy and we're not reckless with the football down there. So I know that that came up, you know, at least once down there. And then we'll get to continue to improve. This is, you know, this being able to get down there in the red zone is good. The windows are tighter. It's going to be like that. Tell the receivers that the catches are going to be contested. So that's a great place to start, you know, on the first day. You know, shorten some of those the distances that we're traveling. You know, this is a lot of the stuff that we do is designed to take care of the players, but obviously we know how important the red zone is everywhere.
So I right now think it's Woodside over Kaiser. That takes us to number three.
Number three.
My third big takeaway is Amani Hooker looks like he is attacking the opportunity given to him. Now, Mike Vrabel already said that Anthony Firkser was one of the offseason workers of the year. And that tells me that he is attacking the opportunity given to him. Anthony Firkser, for example, is the kind of guy who was a converted wide receiver, who was a practice squad guy and worked his way into a rotation. And then an injury here forced him up the food chain. And then Delanie Walker's release there and his work with Tannehill. And now all of a sudden he's the starting tight end on what we think is going to be one of the best offenses in the NFL. You don't get a lot of opportunities like that in life. Amani Hooker was a fourth-round pick out of Iowa. He was a good situational role player on the defense. He's starting at safety opposite Kevin Byard. You don't get a lot of opportunities like this in life. Amani Hooker looks fit this year. He looks like a starter out there. I turned to TD today during practice, and I said, if Amani Hooker makes the Pro Bowl this year, I won't be shocked. If you told me, you know, hey, Amani Hooker's making the Pro Bowl, I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me something crazy like, you know, Racy McMath is going to make the Pro Bowl, then I think I'd be a little surprised. But I think Amani Hooker looks like he is ready to start at that position. He had an interception today of Tannehill where it looked like Chester Rogers didn't stick his route. And a great job of Amani Hooker just to jump that route, grab the football. And it was a 7-on-7, so there was nobody chasing him. And while we did see Tannehill lay that guy out in Oakland a couple years ago, I don't think Tannehill's catching Amani Hooker either. I think that would have been a pick six. So I look at that and I think to myself, Amani Hooker is ready for some big time ball. That was a very solid development.
Number four.
There is something there with Racy McMath. Now, again, at LSU, Racy McMath didn't do a lot. He didn't make a lot of noise as a wide receiver at LSU, which is pretty remarkable when you think of the fact that in the last 8 years, they've had guys like Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. and Jordan Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase.
Justin Jefferson,
excuse me. That they've had all these great wide receivers at LSU, and all of a sudden the Titans take this guy who's big and strong and fast in the sixth round, but he's never done anything. They're going to put him on special teams, which Vrabel today talked about wanting to put Racy McMath on special teams. And yet I got out there and I saw him make some great catches. In fact, I'm going to pull up my notes right here today from practice where I gave guys pluses and minuses, but I've got 81 plus one, great catch, 81 plus one, 81 almost made a great catch on a jump ball in the end zone. 7-on-7, 81 plus one, 11-on-11, 81 plus one. He was all over the place today. Everybody at camp that I was talking to was talking about Racy McMath. And I'm not going to go there yet because a guy who's in the Hall of Fame is pretty high praise. But Shannon Sharp was a wide receiver drafted in the later rounds out of Savannah State. Shannon Sharp was converted to tight end. Les Steckel was his tight ends coach in Denver. And we know what the rest of the story is with Shannon Sharp. It should be noted that Luke Steckel is Les Steckel's son. He is the tight ends coach of the Tennessee Titans. They don't make guys like Racy McMath with that size and speed. And I wonder if that's a project for Vrabel in this year to maybe bulk him up a little bit, keep him playing the special teams role they envision for him, but maybe bulk him up and move him into a slot tight end position where they may not be able to match up with him. And I'll give you an example of a wide receiver who's converted to tight end, Anthony Firkser. So, again, I'm not going to compare him to Shannon Sharp, because Shannon Sharpe's in the Hall of Fame, and that's high praise for somebody on one day of training camp. But Racy McMath, I mean, he is a just behemoth out there. And he made some great catches today. And I think that the Titans are intrigued about the possibility of what McMath could do as an offensive player, knowing that they want him as a special teamer.
Number five.
The kicking game. Now, right now, both guys today, yesterday Vrabel was asked about Steven Goskowski and said, sure, you know, anybody's an option. I don't think they want Goskowski to kick for them this year. I think they want either Tucker McCann or Blake Hobdyle to be the guy to be the kicker. Hobdyle's the rookie out of Ohio State. McCann was with the team last year on the practice squad. Both guys took shots from 28, 31, 41, 45, 46. McCann, 5 of 5. Hobdyle, 5 of 5. The difference, though, is Hobdyle snuck in 28, and he banged 41 off of the left upright, and it went in. Whereas Tucker McCann, I thought for the most part today, was drilling kicks. Now, we're going to see how they progress throughout camp. The preseason games are going to be big for them. Kicker is an important position, absolutely, on this team. Right now, I'd say McCann over Hobdyle in the kicking competition. And I think they're going to give McCann a shot to win this job. So those are my five takeaways from training camp today. Again, the star players are going to get the star treatment. I think we're okay with that. Right now, I think it's Woodside over Kaiser at the backup quarterback position. Amani Hooker looks like he's ready to attack the challenge. Racy McMath is a big dude who looks like he can play. And I think it's going to be right now McCann over Hobdyle at the kicking position. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, 615-737-1025 on training camp, we'll get that in. And there was one position group that has been a weakness for the Titans that I looked out today and I thought, oh, this looked kind of good. We'll get to that coming up next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on Stillman & Company, the Nashville Sounds have a six-game homestand, five more left against the Columbus Clippers, AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. My buddy Matt Cook is on that team. Tonight, they do battle at 7:05. Jeff Him with the pregame show on ESPN 94.9 starts at 6:50. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 is presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plan. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How do you feel about the competition after A.J., Julio, and Josh? You know, the guys like Chester Rogers, Marcus Johnson, Desmond Patrick, Racy McMath. What do you see in those guys so far?
They're competing. You know, it's a stacked receiver room. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be a big competition throughout this training camp is to see who comes out of there. You know, I think that's nod to John Robinson and Vrabel for being able to put that room together and that competition together in that room. Obviously, big, strong, tough physical group. So excited to have that competition in that room, and those guys will be able to help us throughout the year.
There you go. Ryan Tannehill, he absolutely loves the competition in the room. Now, again, it's the first day of training camp. We should caution everybody on that. By the way, we'll give something away at the end of the segment. We should caution everybody on that. But I'm sitting out there, right? Mm-hmm. And you go back to the Ravens playoff loss, and Corey Davis gets hurt, and so the Titans at wide receiver are relying on A.J. Brown, Cam Batson, Khalif Raymond, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, you know, guys you really don't want to have to rely on.
Right.
Like, that's what they're relying on at that point. This year, they lose Corey Davis. They sign Josh Reynolds. Now, I think that's a little bit of a drop, but when you compare bang for the buck, I think you're getting way more with Reynolds than you would have with Davis. Okay. You know, those guys like Raymond, and to me, those are all replacement-level players. Raymond is Tanner Jeannot before there was a Tanner Jeannot. So Raymond is out. He's gone. And they love Batson, so he stays. But it's still kind of a then they draft Dez Fitzpatrick in the fourth round. They draft Racy McMath, who I obviously was been raving about today at camp. They sign Marcus Johnson off of the practice squad from Indianapolis, a guy who's, you know, played okay at Indianapolis and Philadelphia. Chester Rogers was once kind of in the rotation at Indianapolis. He's there. And then they trade for Julio Jones. And when Julio Jones shows up, everybody else goes down a seat on the bench. So Reynolds, who we thought was a good three, we wanted to give him a chance as a two, we know is a good three. Fitzpatrick, a fourth-round pick, who I have heard a lot of people say a lot of good things about. The Titans used, I think, two or three picks to move up and select him. Now Fitzpatrick goes to number four. Batson was three at the end of the season in that game against the Ravens with the injuries. Now he's at five. Westbrook Akina is battling at five. McMath is battling at... Wide receiver could be a strength this year for the Tennessee Titans in terms of overall depth. And now you have to hope, knock on wood, that nothing happens to Julio or AJ because it totally changes the entire dynamic. But, I mean, I'm watching some of these catches. Josh Reynolds made some nice catches today. I mean, I'm telling you, I got the plus and minus. So when someone makes a good play, give them a plus. When somebody makes a minus, give them a minus. And there's a lot of guys that were getting pluses today. Marcus Johnson showed great speed today. Give him a plus. Racy McMath had a handful of pluses today. Chester Rogers, now he had a bad play here, but then he had a couple of good plays. Give him a check. Give him a plus. I mean, I'm looking at wide receiver, and I'm trying to not get too excited because it's the first day of camp, but I'm wondering, Caroline, if wide receiver can be a big position, especially as far as depth is concerned.
Well, absolutely. I mean, let's look at both sides of it. You have your starters and your depth. I think the Titans have an incredible advantage in both areas. If you just look at your two wide receivers, wide receiver one, wide receiver two, two of the best wide receivers in the league, I think there are very few wide receiver duos that can rival the Titans wide receiver duo. You could maybe make an argument for DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. A lot of good wide receiver duos in the league, but sure. AJ Brown and Julio Jones are definitely one of them. And then you look at who's below them. You mentioned Josh Reynolds. You feel good about him in the slot.
Oh, it's a three. Josh Reynolds is a good three.
Josh Reynolds, I think, could be a okay two.
Yeah, I mean, I was fine with giving him a chance as a two.
That's what he was brought into.
But he's a good three.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I still want to buy into these young guys too. And then, you know, like Mason Kinsey today, he got a minus on a play. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I really noticed is because TD loves Mason Kinsey so much. But, I mean, if TD loves this guy, I mean, that's not an accident that TD loves Mason Kinsey as much as TD loves Mason Kinsey. So I do see that, and I take note of it. I mean, I think it's worth bringing up. I think it's worth discussing. And then they love Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. And I believe Nick Westbrook-Ikhina got a plus from me earlier today as I'm just kind of running through my notes. Westbrook-Ikhina is number 15. McMath, Westbrook-Ikhina in the red zone beats Breon Borders for a touchdown. Again, you know, the depth, Westbrook-Ikhina 5 or 6, okay. Don't be putting him at 2 or 3. But 5 or 6.
But he's on there, and okay. That's the thing. If you have guys that are at least reliable, guys that you can trust, you don't need to have a roster full of A.J. Browns and Julio Joneses. But as long as you have bodies there, I think that puts the Titans in a wonderful position. You mentioned Racy McMath. He said he didn't have the biggest numbers coming out of LSU. You know, I covered him at LSU, and if Coach O starts a press conference, he's not going to mention Racy McMath, but his name is always brought up as a guy who's reliable, a guy who is fast, a guy who is quick, a guy that they could count on. And I think having him in the Titans toolkit is really going to benefit them. He's not going to be your number one or number two guy. He may not be your slot guy, but having him there as an option and having him there to develop him and maybe becoming one of his top
McMath
three guys.
If McMath becomes a player here, would you be surprised? From what you know him at LSU, even though he never put up the numbers at LSU.
Well, he never put up the numbers at LSU because I don't think he really got the true opportunity to put up the numbers at LSU. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if he was on the Titans, you know, years in the future, and he was a key part of this team. Maybe not the Titans, but definitely a team. I could see him being a core part of an NFL team.
Do you think I'm overreacting to one day of practice going out there and being like, whoa, looking at Racy McMath?
I think you would be overreacting if you said, okay, we're ready to throw him in there against the Cardinals game one. I think
throw him in there at Gunner.
I think that he would maybe need a little bit of development, but I think that he is absolutely a threat and a weapon.
So David Poyle, with a surprise press conference today, the Predators sent out an email at 4:30 that David Poyle would be having a press conference at
4:30.
So a surprise press conference there.
We appreciate the hustle from the Preds.
Well, was it hustle or was it not hustle?
Well, we didn't know. Well, I don't know.
So this is what I told you about being pro or being anti. Like, you can't just say you're pro something if you're not anti it. You know, it's like sometimes people say, well, he's a good player. No, he's not. He's an okay player. Not a bad player. He's not a good player. He's an okay player. We don't know if they hustled. They told us at 4:30 about a 4:30 press conference.
Well, I'm sure that they hustle in other areas.
So I will let you do all the appreciating of the hustling if you would like to.
I would like to.
Okay. Live music is back at Ascend Amphitheater. By the way, we will have that David Poyle press conference next. Live music is back at Ascend Amphitheater and coming to First Bank Amphitheater. To celebrate, Live Nation is offering $20 all-in concert tickets on select shows now on LiveNation.com for a limited time only while supplies last. You can be caller 5 right now, and you will win a pair of tickets to one of the shows that they are offering, which include Alice Cooper, Counting Crows, Modest Mouse, and more. David Poyle's press conference next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Predators have re-signed Mikhail Granlin to a 4-year, $20 million contract. Kind of looks like all they're really going to do, they signed up a backup goaltender and a bunch of minor league guys who I've never heard of. And with that, David Poyle had an impromptu press conference today. Here's what he said about those moves.
Hi, everybody. Busy time for the Predators and everybody else in the National Hockey League. These last week or so have been extremely, extremely busy in terms of all the conversations we've had with our staff. I've had our pro scouts in here all week long, and I think things are starting to slow down a little bit now as free agency, when it takes place, everything goes pretty fast. So let me go through the transactions that we've been completed in the last 2 or 3 days, and I'll give you my thoughts on them. First of all, I'll start with Mikhail Granlin. To me, that was the most important signing that we've had this week. I mean, Granny was, in my mind, probably our most complete forward last year in terms of his contribution to our team. Played the most minutes of any forward that we had in our lineup on most nights. Power play, penalty killing, very versatile player. I think when in the second half of the season, when he got united with Yarny and then Luke Cunning, they played arguably as good or as productive as any of our lines for the second half of the season. It was a big reason why we got into the playoffs. I think in some of the changes that we're making to go to a little bit younger team and to put in some of our younger players, it's really important to have the right people surround them. And I think Granny is one of the right people. He's the guy that plays from the first minute to the 60th minute. His game is as consistent as any player that we have on our team. I think his conditioning is great. Takes care of himself. I think he's a great role model for all of our younger players. So I think he's going to keep us in that competitive mode. And I think he's going to be a great mentor, leader, if you will, to some of these younger players. So really happy to get that contract done and done for 4 years. It really fits into a lot of what we're doing. Second player that we signed today was David Rittich, a goaltender. Obviously, we needed to have a goalie go along with Juice after Pekka announced his retirement. Rittich, again, we've done a lot of research on him, a lot of coverage from games that we've watched before, video that we've watched. Obviously, in this case, we included our goaltending coaches and Ben Vanderklok and Dave Rook to their thought process. Rittich is 29. He's a very big goaltender. He's 6'3", 215 pounds. He, at different times in his career, has been a number one goaltender. His record has been very good on the one winning versus losing side of it. His save percentage has been very, very good. I think, Calgary a year ago went in a different direction when they signed Markstrom to a longer-term deal, and then eventually Rittich got traded at the trading deadline to Toronto, where he was more or less an extra guy. I think he only played one game for Toronto. I think there's a little bit of a bounce back in his year. I think, there's different ages that you'd say this is the prime of a player's career. Maybe for a forward defenseman, it's a little bit younger. But I think Rittich at age 29 is, ready to enter what I would call his prime of his career. I think his work ethic is really good. He plays with a lot of energy. You can see that in any games that you watched him play. He's an emotional guy. Heard a lot about his character in terms of being very, very upbeat guy that's first out on the ice for practice, supports his teammates really well. So I think he'll be a great compliment to Juice, and a guy that, if need be, can actually play a lot of games, because he's, as a number one goalie, he's often played a lot of games in a season. So that was in goal. We had two other signings today. Matt Tennyson, who was a defenseman who's at age 31. He's played for different organizations. A very good, what I would call depth defenseman. Every year in his career, he has played games in the National Hockey League, and I think as many as 40 one year in New Jersey. And again, we signed him for 2 years because we think he's a guy on the right side that, if need be, and if he can challenge for a job, that would be great. John Hines knows him because he played for him in New Jersey at different times, but a really good person, really good leader. And again, gives us that depth that we were lacking on the right side. The last person that we signed today was Matt Luff. He played in the LA organization and has been up for LA. I think he's played 64 career NHL games. He's just 24 years of age. A guy that I think has more to offer. He's got really good size. He's 6'2" or 6'3", over 200 pounds. He's a right-hand shot, which is exactly what we needed in that area. I think a guy that can challenge at training camp, but certainly will be a guy that could be adding to our depth and could be a possible call-up guy if need be this season. He's working one of the areas that I think is probably he wants to get a little bit better in. It's just his quickness, and he's been investing with a very good coach in this offseason to work on that area. So a guy that's really young. I think I love making acquisitions at this age because it's after their first organization and they've gone through the highs and lows and they know what they need to do to make it in the NHL. And I think Matt has a really good chance to certainly play games for us this year. In addition to those signings in this week, just to go over, we signed Mike McCarron to a 2-year deal. I think this is a lot like the Matt Tennyson signing Mike brings leadership. I mean, he's a captain, possibly if he's in Milwaukee, he prepares the right way. He carries himself the right way and he can play NHL games for us. And a big man and can play a real physical game if need be. We also signed Anthony Richard. Anthony's had a couple of games up here with Nashville and this training camp will be really important for him. He's scoring goals down there at a pretty good rate. He's also got a lot of speed, could be a penalty killer. So really important year for Anthony to have a good camp and to make an impression at camp to give it, put him in a position to get games. We also signed a 1-year deal with Jeremy Davies, who a lot of you got to see last year, who played, I believe, like 16 games for us. He is a very creative defenseman. He can bring some offense. And again, I think he just has to be a little bit more consistent in his game and probably a little bit better defensively, if you will. But again, he's certainly in the mix for challenging for a job on our team this year. And then the other one is Freddie Allard, who we signed for a 1-year deal. And Freddie played one game for us last year, and he will be a depth player for us in Milwaukee. So that's a lot of things that have taken place. So why don't I stop and let you ask me the questions? Thank you.
All right. Sounds good, David. Thank you very much. We'll turn things over to Brooks Bratton. You can lead us off today. Go ahead, Brooks.
Hi, David. Good afternoon. As you've just touched on, certainly a lot of work got done, and I suppose that you never know exactly how a day like this is going to go. But as you said, you go out and get some guys, you keep some guys in your own organization. Is this kind of how you envision free agency 2021 for your club going, or how do you see the day play out overall?
It's never quite the same. I mean, every team has got a wish list, and I guess you'd say a little bit of a strategy. I think our strategy revolved around mostly two things. One, we needed to get a second goalie, and there was a lot of goalies out there. And if you followed it, most of them, you know, found a landing spot. So I guess you could say it's a little bit of musical chairs for goaltenders this year. And you know, we're happy with signing Reddish. The second thing, which is in my mind was equally, if not more important, was signing Granlund back. I mean, it was a long negotiation, to be perfectly honest, and took a little bit of time. And I can tell you at the beginning of the day, I wasn't sure it was going to take place. But, you know, the overriding factor was that how much we wanted him. And I think we conveyed that. And I think all things being equal, at the end of the day, he certainly wanted to play here because, as we both acknowledge, it was a really good fit for work. You know, he's got a, you know, he has a residence here, and his wife likes it here. He's got young kids, and then the on ice fit is perfect in terms of the how he's used and used in our team and the role that we see for him in the next 4 years. So that's but you just never know how the day is going to go. It's always full of surprises, and you know, there's for everyone situation where that makes sense. This guy signed there, your guys, well, I'm not sure why they signed that guy. So we all have our opinion how this day went.
Hey, David, good afternoon. When it comes to Mikael Granlund and just what you've seen out of him in the last couple of years, how much has he been able to progress under John Hines' system? And why do you think that is, that he's really elevated his game under coach?
Again, a little bit different system from Lavi, of course, and you know, could be his line mates, and it just could be the addition of, you know, 2, 3, or 4 minutes a game. I mean, players all like to get their touches out there and get used in all situations. So, you know, Granny gets used in every situation. Of course, 5-on-5 on the line he's on, but he gets to play on the power play, and he kills penalties. So he's involved in all the game. And I probably, just to simplify it, it's a little bit of the system, but it's probably just being out there, probably, you know, 3 or 4 minutes more to get yourself in the game and to make yourself have an impact on the game, make a contribution. And of course, you know, make yourself, you know, feel important in terms of the contribution of our club. I also think that this is a guy that I'm glad it worked out for both of us, because it takes a little bit of time. I think the acclimation when he first got here wasn't exactly, you know, perfect in terms of, you know, coming from Minnesota, which is the only place he played. So I think all in all, this was a really good move for both sides, that the fit just seems to be really good.
Good afternoon, David. Touching on Mikael, as well as future negotiations that you will inevitably have to deal with, how much of a reluctance might there be from you to sign players to longer-term contracts, considering some of the results that those longer-term contracts you have signed in recent years have shown?
Well, I think you have to look at everyone individually. I mean, it's the player's age, it's his size, it's his injury history, it's his production, it's a whole bunch of other things. It's also the negotiation position that the player is in. Do we have rights? Does he have arbitration? Are we talking about unrestricted free agents? So there's lots and lots that goes into every situation. So it's also the cap. It's not going to be going up too much in the next couple of years. So whatever, you know, when we do something that's like, say, sign Granlund for 4 years, I can tell you approximately what, I know what our commitments are for the next 4 years, but I can approximately tell you where, you know, who we think is staying, who's going, what we would need, who needs to be re-signed, a guesstimate of what dollars would need to be paid to those players. So a lot of things go into any contract and any length that you give out to a player.
Hi, David. So back last season, the youth and prospects had a lot of opportunities to perform, impress you and the rest of the organization. How much did that play into how you were going into this offseason and seeing what the youth was able to do and seeing that, hey, maybe didn't need to sign as many veterans in free agency and be able to give a lot of these youth really big opportunities to earn their spots this upcoming season?
Well, I think it's the answer speaks in what we did. And there was re-signing Granlund, but we did not re-sign, you know, other free agents that we had. And again, if I'm looking down and making my bullish roster for next year, I have high hopes for Cody Glass, Phil Tomasino that weren't on our team. I have high hopes that Tolvanen can play, you know, regularly for us, that Tanner Jeannot, Olivier, and Trennan play regular and continue to contribute to our lineup. Luke Cunnan, who had a strong second half for us, can play in a more, even more important role for us next year. So I'm all in on the, you know, the changes and for the youth and trying to give these younger guys a chance to get their game to the highest that it can be.
Yeah, David, Philip Forsberg and Matthias Ekholm now eligible to sign contract extensions. Have you guys begun talks with those two players? Has there been any progress on that front? What's kind of the update there?
No, we haven't. Again, I've touched base with their agents, and we're going to talk to Eki, you know, and Philip, proper time might be, you know, sometime in August or start of training camp, but we'll certainly get to that. The good news is they're signed for another year, and, you know, in talking to them at this point that they certainly want to be here. So we've got some more players, we want to say fortunately that we have to get signed hopefully shortly, but that's a work in progress like it always is. But we'll get to Ecky and Phil before not too long.
Hey, David, as far as restricted free agents go, I mean, what's the progress been like with UC? Because obviously we all expect them to sign here. Are you getting a feeling that might happen sooner or later, or do you not know yet?
Negotiations have just started. So, you know, every time I'm asked these questions, I couldn't tell you whether it's going to be, you know, tomorrow or three weeks or what have you. I don't think it ever serves any purpose. So we've just started negotiations. So it's we'll just leave it at that today.
Hey, David, after signing Zach LaRue today, I was curious what his outlook would be for next season as to where he'd be playing.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. I actually forgot to mention that the first player that signed in this year's draft. I hope that's a good omen to be number one. He's going to come here in 2 weeks here. We're having a development camp on August the 15th. So he'll be a young player coming here. He'll go back, I think, to his junior club because they're starting their training camp. And then he'll come back for our training camp for the rookie camp. So we're going to get a couple of viewings of him here really early. As a young player, I'm very certain that he'll go back to play junior. That's the right thing for his overall development. But the fact that we've got him signed, I think shows you our interest in him, and maybe his agreeing to sign shows you his interest in us. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how he looks at the development camp and, of course, the rookie camp that we have in September.
David, when it comes to signing David Riddick, I know you mentioned he's a good character guy and is certainly well known around the league. How much consideration was given to just how a goaltender might mesh with UC? Obviously, he's had Pekka for his whole NHL career. How much did you weigh in as far as who that person would potentially be alongside Juice there?
Very much. To the best of our ability, we called people that knew him very, very well. So, and, you know, everybody knew why we were calling in terms of the fit and the personality and what have you. I mean, everybody knows how great of a relationship Pekka and Juice had. And we're not replacing Pekka on the ice nor as a person, but we think we have a good fit here on the personalities and the support of each other. And again, I've just only heard good things about him. And they say, as his compete and his support of his teammates and support of the goalie that's playing, all the things that are going to be important in any relationship with a goalie tandem. So I believe we got the right person to complement Juice in that area.
Good day at the office. Tons of football to get into. If you missed any part of today's show, the podcast is available for download. Just search Stillman and Company wherever you get your podcast. Hour one, Titans practice reaction. Hour two, Preds making moves. Hour three, Tannehill talks vaccine. And then hour four, more Titans practice reaction. Download that podcast today and subscribe and review and give it a good review, because I don't know if you know this, but our show has a lot of mixed reviews on there. You know, the people that five-star it, I just love this show, oh my goodness, and the people that one-star it because they don't like me. So, and today we got a lot from the people that don't like me. So it was,
and they were colorful today.
They were very colorful.
Give you that.
It is time now. We're tied at 2 days into the week, tied at 4-4 each. It's time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Let me say, by the way, that there will be a special free agency edition of Preds Insiders coming up after we're off. So.
Yes. A little bit of betting picks. Brewers, Pirates. Give me the Brewers on the money line, minus 145. The Brewers have Adrian Hauser on the mound, who is 6-5 with a 3.88 ERA and 17 starts. Pirates have a younger guy in the mound, right-hander Max Kranick. He's 1-1, 5.73 ERA and 3 starts. So he had his big league debut in June, but has only thrown 6 innings across 2 starts since then. And the Brewers have the best road record in the league. They're 30-18. They're on a heater on the road. They're 5 in a row on the road. won three of their last four in the last series against Pittsburgh. The Pirates are 21-27 at home, the third worst in the league. The Pirates are just not that great. So give me the Brewers on the money line.
So I'm going to take the Pirates on the money line, and here's why.
Okay,
I think the
Pirates.
Brewers are going through a little bit of a COVID outbreak right now. Christian Yelich has COVID. I think somebody else on that team is a close contact with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be a little worried about that. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Pirates tonight.
Okay. We've got Braves-Mets tonight as well. Give me Braves plus 1.5, minus 185. The Braves are throwing at lefty Max Fried on the mound. He's 4-4-6, 7-6 with 16 starts. Mets rookie out on the mound, Tyler McGill. He's 1-0 with a 2.10 ERA across six starts. So Tyler McGill has not allowed more than three runs in a single start in his last four appearances. He's given up two earned runs in just over 20 innings. The Braves have won three of their last four games against the Mets, including a 12-5 victory on Tuesday. Max Fried has struggled as of late, so I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm going to get the Mets with the win here, but I'll take the Braves plus 1.5, minus 185.
So I'm going to take the Mets on the money line here, and I'm going to do it because the Braves won yesterday, and they won big yesterday.
Big time, yeah.
And I think the Braves are hanging on to their season, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime they zig, you think they're going to zig, then they zag. So I'm going to take the Mets on the money line.
We also have a little bit of Olympic basketball tonight. USA plays Czech Republic. The spread here is big. So I'm going to take Czech Republic plus 23.5, minus 114. I'm pretty much out on USA basketball, but Czech Republic also isn't very good. They shot like 45% from the field in their last game against France. They got out-rebounded 35-26. But I think that if they can figure out some of their defensive woes, be a little bit better on offense, and we've seen USA basketball drop games that they were really not supposed to drop. So I think it'll be closer than the sports books think it will be. So Czech Republic against the spread.
So I'm worried because we both picked Nigeria to beat Germany.
And Germany won.
Germany won. And we picked Nigeria to beat Germany because Nigeria beat the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe highlights the fact that the United States just isn't very good. I'm going to take USA minus the 23.5. I think they got to pull it. I mean, they got to pile it on.
All right.
I think they got a pilot.
Well, last game against Iran, Dame had 21 points. Devin Booker had 16. Like, they could have just had a slow start, and things are starting to look up.
Tonight, I'm taking Canada in women's basketball against South Korea. 8 o'clock start tonight. I know this. When I worked in women's basketball, there was a really good Canadian player at Notre Dame by the name of Natalie Achanwa.
Uh-huh.
I would not be surprised if she was still on Team Canada. I don't know anybody from South Korea. Give me Canada on the money line. Give me the Canadians. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee today against South Carolina.
Yeah, very big difference between South Korea and South Carolina. Give me South Korea. I just want to be different.
Okay, that is a different take. Although, you know, I would consider South Korea in basketball maybe similar to South Carolina in basketball every now and then.
But
not women's
maybe
basketball.
Maybe you had a nice foreshadowing there. I like to think women's basketball.
So you think it's like...
Is Dawn Staley also the coach of South Korea?
No, she's the coach of us. I believe she's our coach.
Dang.
I don't think Gino's doing it.
You don't think
anymore.
She's splitting her time there?
No, that's not what I was thinking. But wow. Wow. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here again. The Predators have re-signed Mikhail Granlund. They've added a backup goalie, a special edition of Predators Insiders, Ryan Porth and Jeremy K. Gover. That is next. We are out of here. We will be back tomorrow at 2:00.